Hello and welcome to Girl Pundits. I'm here today with Christina Zahorek, the chairman or chairwoman, although I think chairman is the official title.
No, we've changed it.
You've changed
yeah.
it? Tell
yeah.
me.
So it's my official title is president of the Illinois Democratic County Chairs Association.
I like to call her the chair of the chairs, but...
That's fine, too.
I am so excited to have Christina in this role because I've seen this organization grow and really step up and be a true statewide Democratic organization. I'm so happy to see their growth, and I think the energy that Christina is going to bring is going to really bring you guys to the next level.
Thank you.
Tell me a little bit about what you've got planned, and then we're going to go backwards and talk about how you got here.
Okay, well, wonderful. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. I appreciate the opportunity to kind of talk about the association and what we do and what we are doing. So the Illinois Democratic County Chairs Association represents 102 counties within the state of Illinois.
But not Lincoln County, right? For those of you who don't live in Illinois, the trick that you always get statewide candidates or presidential candidates campaigning in Illinois, you ask them if they've visited Lincoln County
right.
yet, because we don't have Lincoln County.
No, I thought you were going to ask about Stark County, which is where we are about to have a chair. Currently, we don't. So we will actually have representation then in all 102 counties.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. So the association acts as a resource and a training center really for our county parties. And we also provide statewide candidates access to our county parties when they are running for office. And the association really started out as kind of a central Illinois and southern Illinois organization.
And Christina, are you old enough that, did you know John Janulis?
Did
you know Chairman Janulis?
No, I'm sorry, I did not.
So John Janulis used to be the chairman, and he was legendary and did understand that, you know, Chicago and Cook County and the collar counties got all of the attention, and he did a great job of getting, you know, he understood the power of numbers.
Correct.
And got the downstate and, you know, counties in western Illinois, northern Illinois, southern Illinois to work together. But he was a wonderful political organizer and a wonderful, wonderful man. And always did a good job, especially in the presidential years, of being very, very even-handed, as he should be in his role. But he was a real pleasure. I'm sorry you didn't get to know him, but I know he's looking down on you. I'm proud of what you're doing.
Well, I hope I do all my predecessors proud. I think that, you know, my immediate predecessor, Doug House, he had a vision of making sure that all 102 counties, again, had a voice and were represented, and moved in that direction. I actually met him in 2016. I was in Iowa canvassing and working for Hillary with another fellow chair. And we were sitting around talking about kind of his vision for the association. And at that time, you know, this is now, I think, my fifth year since stepping up out of the woodwork.
Thank you. Thank you for getting off that wall, stopping being a wallflower
yeah,
and getting into
well,
the game.
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, as you know, I used to work for Senator Simon, and he used to have this quote that said something to the effect of, you know, what kind of world do you want to live in, and what are you willing to do to make that happen? And I was actually at an event where we were raising money for his legacy down at SIU for his political
institute. Yeah.
Thank you. And there was a film, his biography, and I could hear his voice, and he had that particular voice, right?
And Paul Simon, right, the senator right. from Illinois,
right? And as I was at this event, I thought he was talking to me when he said that, and I looked around the room at my colleagues, and I thought, wow, you know, maybe there's something more that I should be doing. And so I really kind of reached out to my own party. But in terms of the association, you know, it's that, it's following with that idea that he always brought of participation, government is service, good government is really important. And looking at what the County Chairs Association is trying to do, it's exactly that. And some of the direction, the add-ons or the added value, if you will, that I see moving forward, there are functions that the county parties do, that we're supposed to do, that sometimes when we don't have enough volunteers stepping up that we're not able to perform. But the fact that we've had such good organizers in regard to our previous governor and the administration now that's out in Washington, D.C., we have seen a lot of people step up and want to participate within the party structure or outside as well. And a lot of them are women that are my age.
I was just going to say, get back when you, I want to come back to that, but
sure.
Circle back to Doug House. You were talking in Iowa.
Yes.
And did he say anything in particular or do anything to
he
make
said, you
get
need
involved?
To do more.
That's awesome because
I wasn't even a chair at that point. I might have been a vice chair of my own county party, but I was also a member of the state party at that time. I had run as a write-in because I didn't want someone to be appointed in that position who wasn't going to basically organize and do. And I at that time, it was right when our previous governor was elected, and I felt that you could see the writing on the wall in terms of his direction. And I felt it was really important to be ahead of kind of the, I was going to use a bad word, but I won't.
It's okay. It's a podcast.
The you shit can... show. That was
oh,
kind of coming down the pipe, right?
That's not even close to being a bad word. That is just a descriptor.
But in any event, so, you know, all of this kind of culminated into understanding that there was more that I could offer and could do. And certainly with the support of my former president of the association, Doug House, as well as my other county chairs. And it was interesting when I got elected to this position in November, right after the big election, you know, I called all 100 other county chairs to kind of have a conversation because, as we mentioned, you know, this organization was initially started and thought of as a downstate or a
right.
central and downstate. And, you know, who's this suburban, Collar County, almost to Wisconsin woman? How does she know and understand the concerns that face central and southern Illinois or even, you know, a little bit
does
farther
out
west?
Does she even know we're here?
Right, exactly. And, I, you know, one of the things that I talked about is when I moved back to Illinois, as you know, I grew up in Lake County.
That's what I was just going to ask. Tell us a little bit about your past and how you got hooked up with Simon. Circle it all.
It was
in.
A dark and stormy night. Well,
as often happens
yeah,
in
right?
Lake County.
But I grew up in Lake County. I was born in Iowa, but was raised in Lake County. And
but that born in Iowa part, you know, that could come in handy later in your career. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. You don't want to rule anything out.
That's very generous. But I and again, in talking with my fellow chairs and asking for their support and vote in that election, you know, McHenry County is not like the other collar counties.
No.
We did see this blue wave come through the collars. And in my state hat, I represent the 14th Congressional District. And we did see big changes in those collar counties. However, not such a big change in McHenry, which is where I'm based.
And McHenry County is a little bit more rural still.
Correct. So, and to that point, you know, the majority of our county is rural. And we do have some suburban-esque cities that are within my community, but my county has never been Democratic, unlike some folks in southern Illinois who do remember when their counties were Democratic, right?
Back in the day,
correct.
Yes.
And so since I stepped up about 5 years ago, as I said, the successes that we've had have been because other folks were already in the county kind of carrying the water and hanging on and really, really kind of clawing a space for Democrats within that community.
I totally understand. I grew up in DuPage County, which was legendarily Republican.
And congratulations on this last cycle.
Oh, my
God.
Now, A, Democrats won in so many places, but B, what I'm most proud of, there's enough Democrats that there can be factions and infighting. I was like, I knew we had succeeded when there was enough of us
to fight for
ourselves.
Right, exactly. I suspect we're probably about 10 years behind DuPage. But that being said, you know, in McHenry County, being able to understand that when you're a Democrat and you feel that you're ignored or you don't have a voice or you're the only one, or how do you have agency then when you don't have electeds? How do you have purpose? And so over the years, we developed and organized in order to have that sense of agency and purpose, and then came to this cycle where we were able to elect 5 Democrats to our county board and brought you both, not only Lauren Underwood, but also Sean Kasten, to the House of Representatives.
Let's talk about Lauren Underwood for a minute, because I think she's a wonderful candidate, but I also think she epitomizes as a candidate, but also the people who got involved, and it's you too. All you talked about being a woman of a certain age, and all of a sudden you looked up, you woke up, looked around, and realized you had to get in to change it. And I think you are so much like so many of the women that I went to high school with who in recent years are like, wait, it's my world. If I want to change it.
We have a civic duty, right? Yep. You have a civic duty. And you know, I worked for Paul Simon out in Washington, D.C., and then came home to raise my family. And, you know, kind of put my head down and worked at raising my 5 children. And
you have 5 children? I didn't realize it was 5. Oh, my God. No wonder you're a good organizer.
Yeah, they don't realize that they outnumber me. So,
well, you know, this is actually a serious, serious business when I look at how Nancy Pelosi is able to keep all of the House in order and is able to keep President Trump in order. I do not think.
Do not underestimate
the fact that
she
is a mother. This is not. These are not facts that are separate facts.
That's right. That's absolutely right. Well, and again, you know, I was first asked to help out when Sheila Simon ran for lieutenant governor, and some of the old Simonites had reached out to say, "Hey, could you help out?" And was happy to do so, but then again, put my head back down to deal with, you know, raising my kids. But I started then to pay attention to what was happening in my own county. And, you know, as I mentioned, that scolding that I got via a video biography from my former boss came to my county party and said, how can I help?
I would like to think that it was not necessarily a scolding, but a reminder.
A reminder. That's
but
correct.
But when you hear
that's
it in Paul Simon's voice, it is like twice as impactful as when you heard it in anybody else's voice. And for those of you younger listeners, Paul Simon was our senator here in Illinois, and he was a wonderful senator, good government reform. But I've got to give a shout out to his wife, Jean Simon, who was a wonderful organizer and enthusiasm builder. And
a leader and a legislator in her own right.
Absolutely. She was a legislator when she and Paul Simon met. They were both in the legislature, and that's how they met. I often wonder if they had been born later, what the world would have looked like if Jean Simon had been the one to go on to greater elected role. Although I think that, you know, when we talk about co-presidents and things, I think that Jean Simon had a lot of input on the decisions that Senator Paul Simon made.
Yeah.
In the same way that Adlai Stevenson, also our former senator from Illinois, and his wife, Nancy Stevenson, were amazing political partners.
Yeah.
And I remember growing up, my mother, who was a feminist and activist in the 70s and a Democratic precinct captain in DuPage County back when there weren't any, she would always come home from different political rallies and say, oh, I wish Jean Simon were running. Oh, I wish Nancy Stevenson were running. But
yeah, well, hopefully, I mean, you know, hopefully there is more space for us, right? And that's one of the things I think that the association is trying to make sure that we fulfill that mission, too. We just co-hosted an event in Chicago where we had, I want to say, 300 or so folks in the room.
I was sitting at the back. Not that I was counting every head, but, you know, I'm an organizer. I do events. I pay attention. And there were at least 300 people there.
And
women. And it was cold and snowy and icky.
It was just winter in the Midwest. but I think that, you know, and again, it's we've had this message in 2016 to go run for something. Right?
Right.
We've been pushing that message. But I think the other part of that message is that there are other spaces that people can volunteer and fill within the county party structure or even the state party structure, right?
Let's talk about training a little bit because that is near and dear to my heart. And, you know, I came of political age when Harold Washington was mayor, and I won't really talk about the mayor's race, but I will tell you, we're recording this on Election Day in Chicago,
I
haven't voted yet, but because I'm looking for my second Mayor Washington. But when I came up, Mayor Washington was mayor. His administration was open and inclusive, and if you had good ideas, you were welcomed in to help. But he also always talked about each one teach one and each one reach one.
That's right.
I've taken that to heart.
And each one bring one.
Yep. I've taken that to heart my entire political career, and that's why I think what you guys are doing with training is so important, because not everybody has to be the candidate.
Correct.
But everybody has skills.
That's
everybody
right.
can do what they can do. So how do you help them?
Well, I think that, you know, again, the county parties, as I mentioned before, they do have some specific functions that they need to do. And if we don't have the volunteer base, and we're all volunteers, in my position as president, I'm still just a volunteer. But again, you know, we need people to fill those precinct committeeman roles. And that's, you know, a basic function within the party, right? So it's going out neighborhood.
So how does someone do it if they want to get involved locally? Like I've been working with a lot of women who are running for school board and library board in their towns, but now they've gotten a taste of politics and want to get involved and stay involved. What's a precinct committeeman? What do you have to do?
Right.
How do you do it?
So in Chicago, it's a little bit different. Well, Chicago's always different, right?
Right.
But if you're looking outside the city.
Yeah, let's talk about not Chicago.
Right. Well, considering you know, everyone should be going and voting right now and
everybody,
not paying attention necessarily.
And,
come back and listen to this after you vote.
And in Chicago, I will say, for better or for worse, we have the aldermanic structure. Mm-hmm. And
the ward structure.
We're lucky that we have elected officials close to us, because really you can call your alderman for any problem that you have, and they will likely help. So if you want to be a precinct committeeman, start with the ward committeeman and your alderman.
Correct.
But outside
of Chicago, it's an elected position. So every 2 years, you're on the ballot during the primary, and you run for office. It takes a petition that needs 10 signatures to be on the ballot, and then whoever's pulling a primary ballot
10
can vote
signatures.
For you. Very
10
easy.
Signatures.
Of
you just
Democrats.
Need to walk
Correct.
Up and down your block and talk to your neighbors.
And if you're coming through the party, obviously the party then can help you identify who those voters are within your neighborhood. And precinct people are very unique and very special, because in the party structure, they're the ones that are doing the really kind of grassroots neighbor-to-neighbor, door-to-door work, whether it's identifying who our voters are or listening to the concerns that that community has and bringing it back to the party or vice versa, right? And it's very different than a volunteer, for example, that would work for a campaign. So our precinct people are very unique and very important. They also have voting rights within their county party structures. In my county, in McHenry County, we have 212 precincts. When there is a vacancy after that election cycle, then the chair has the ability to appoint someone to a precinct, whether it's the precinct that they live in or if it's a neighboring vacant precinct, however it falls out. And again, excuse me, they serve at the leisure of the chair, but they still have the same voting rights as an elected. So that's one position I think that's very, very important. And as we're talking about the administration's projects and goals and policies, the precinct people then can act as a bolster to engaging those neighbors in order to support the policies that, that Democrats would like to see passed.
So the first, if somebody's interested in becoming a precinct committeeman, mm-hmm. the first thing they need to do is contact their county chair?
Correct.
And how do they find out who their county chair is?
Well, that's very easy. We have something called the internet now.
And where would they go to get information?
They could go to, is it IDCCA.org?
ILDCCA.org.
Thank you. Yes.
Illinois Democratic County Chairs Association.
Correct. And on the website, you will see a link to all of our county parties. And certainly in McHenry County, it's McHenryDems.org. We have a website. A lot of our county parties do have websites or Facebook pages as well. So that's a good place to kind of start.
So I've got to put in a plug for my own dearly departed mom, who became a county chairman when John F. Kennedy was running for president. And for those of you who know your history, you know that John F. Kennedy only won the state of Illinois by one vote per precinct.
Wow.
So that doesn't mean that in each precinct he got one vote more, but it means on average he won with one vote per precinct. It taught her that every vote counts. And I was born in 1959. She did go to see John F. Kennedy speak when she was pregnant with me, which I think that's how I got involved in politics and stayed. But literally when I was 2 years old, I remember us going door to door, and she didn't just go door to door and talk to her neighbors about the Democratic Party before Election Day.
Right.
She went about once a year, every summer, even when it wasn't an election.
Correct.
She would go walk around with her voter roll, talk to the Democrats, see what was on their minds, see what they were thinking, try to get them engaged, try to get them to come out and volunteer for the Democrats' booth at the DuPage County Democratic Fair. You know, she understood the year-round nature and constant politics.
You know, when I go
and
around...
And listening.
Yep, and that's exactly right. And so when I go around, you know, we're going to start petition season again pretty quickly here for 2020. And, you know, when I bring my clipboards around with a stack of petitions trying to help Democrats get on the ballot, if I have built up that relationship with my neighbors, they know I'm coming, and they've got time to sit down for 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes and sign the petitions, but also then have that kind of conversation and check in. And it's that kind of grassroots level work that makes us successful.
And it's so... I'm not going to use the word unique because I'm not certain that it's unique, but it is such a central part of how our party works when it works well that voters actually get a feedback and get input into the party.
Right.
No one is like me and sits down and reads the party platform, except for the people on the platform committee every 4 years. But, you know, it's a way to tell someone who has the time to listen, hey, this is, I think, the direction we need to go and the direction I think the party needs to go.
Right, correct. And the other kind of really important role that I think, at least in terms of my vision for the association, that I'm really kind of focusing on is the election judges, because one of the other functions of a precinct person and the county party is to make sure that we're appointing our election judges. And It's a difficult task because of the sheer amount of numbers that are needed in order to be in my county, it's, you know, two Democrats for every precinct, right?
And you said you've got how many
212.
precincts?
212.
Yeah. So that's a lot of folks, and
Correct.
Election day is a long
and
day.
And that doesn't include the technical judges, that doesn't include our poll watchers, which are also equally important, particularly because what we're starting to see, I coin it soft voter suppression. And whether it's the consolidation of polling places, we have one polling place in my community that has 10 precincts in it.
Oh, my God. And that's probably kind of a big drive for people.
It is. Well, and it's you know, it's funny because I think that this push from the other side of the aisle where you have to consolidate, save money, everything's about the taxes. And while that might be important, I do believe I'm fiscally conservative, right? Or maybe I should say it in a better way. It's fiscally responsible.
I think fiscally responsible is the correct term.
And my sense is that it reaches a point where you're nickeling and diming to the point that you don't provide service, that you're not really doing or allowing for the function of government to happen.
And this is our democracy. What we have is our vote. This is Kitty Kurth with Girl Pundits. I'm here today with Christina Zahorek, the chair of the Illinois Democratic County Chairs Association. We're talking about Democrats, but we're also talking about democracy. I'm going to change the path a little bit, but we are going to be coming up on the next presidential cycle is starting right now.
Oh, yeah.
And what I've found people around the state don't realize and don't understand or don't remember is with all of these people as candidates, they are also going to need delegate candidates in every congressional district. More in the more populous congressional districts, a few more in the less populous congressional districts, but they are going to need someone representing. So, for example, Cory Booker or Amy Klobuchar, they're going to run for president, but then in each congressional district, there will be a slate of delegate candidates that will be running under the Klobuchar banner or the Booker banner. Do you want to talk a little bit about the process, or I can help fill in the gaps from the, let's see, I've worked on delegate slating since 1988, so I've got a couple of ideas about it.
Well, I went through it the last cycle. And
were you a delegate candidate?
I was a delegate candidate on the ballot
for Hillary.
Yep. And again, you know, the to your point, you know, each candidate is going to have their folks. So there is a process. So the and again, I think that the state party is kind of in the middle of working out the details of that. But if it follows,
it's pretty similar every year, but it could change a little.
So for example, last year, you know, the campaign had to be supportive of your candidacy on the ballot.
Yes.
So even if someone wanted to just run and get the signatures, if the campaign wasn't supporting your candidacy, you would not be selected. So I just wanted to say, I suspect that might be the case this time too.
That's normally, that's the normal case. So if you like a candidate, you would get in touch with their campaign and
say. They usually have an interview process that they go through.
And say you're interested. Interested. And there is, there's also there have to be this many women, there have to be this many men, there have to be this many this many
that. You know, the Democratic Party likes to have, you know,
diversity. Because we know that makes us stronger.
That's right.
But I would say anybody listening who's interested in participating in democracy should pick a candidate, start volunteering, talk to the campaign, see if they need people to run for delegate in your area, because it's a way of, it's kind of a test run. Mm. You become a candidate, but it's not quite as hard as running out there on your own for an office.
Right. Well, I believe you still need 500 signatures in order to get on the...
It actually depends on the congressional district because it's all based on how many people voted in the last election. But it's if there are 10 candidates running for office, that means... In, you know, an average congressional district where there might be 5 delegates or 7 delegates, that means they're going to need 50 people running for delegate candidates. So there's going to be a lot of opportunity
to be
on the ballot. Well, but it's not, you know, it's even the the petition process, getting on the ballots, that's going to start in the middle of summer.
That's right.
So even though the election isn't until next March, we need to be thinking about this now and encouraging people to get involved.
And more and more
now
seem to be stepping up to run, right, for,
yes,
for president. So every day there's somebody new.
I'm kind of excited. I'm going on a trip to Iowa next week, and I can't wait to see who else is out there in the snowdrifts with me. Again, I'm here with Christina Zahorek from Illinois Democratic County Chairs Association. We're about to wrap up, but anything else you want to talk about while you're here today?
I just wanted to kind of circle back around about our election judges, because we need them.
Please.
So that if it's another way to get involved, and particularly if you don't have a lot of time, but I do know that in including Cook County, that every single county needs to have Democratic election judges. You can reach out again to your county party chair or go to your county clerk's website to sign up. The situation is normally up until a certain date, the county chairs appoint via their precinct people who those election judges are. After that date, then we can still submit names, and then the clerk kind of places them wherever they need. But they can go through their chair or they can go through their county clerks. It's a paid position. Usually there's training that's involved. But again, it's really important.
And usually you get paid a little bit for the training also.
Correct. That is absolutely correct. And there's technical judges as well if you're more perhaps computer savvy to fulfill that role. Again, it's a paid position and there's training that goes on it as well. And then the third component is on election day is poll watchers for your community. And that's making sure that we do have faith and integrity in our electoral system.
And I think now more than ever that's important. I would also advocate, like, if you're new to a neighborhood or new to a town, being an election judge is a great way to meet all your neighbors. It's kind of like being a bartender at a party. That's why I always volunteer to be the bartender. You meet everybody who comes through. But be an election judge. You learn about the system. You get paid a little bit. It's a fascinating up-close and personal look at the electoral process. Christina, thank you so much for being here with me today. I really appreciate it. And thanks, everybody, for listening to Girl Pundits. And Christina, normally when we're not taping this in the morning, we get to cheers.
So cheers.
Cheers, and thanks for being skull. Cheers. Thanks for being on Girl Pundits.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next time. See you later.